So I want to review what we did on Monday and then add a few more points to just embellish a little bit on the topic that we had. So we're discussing what the definition is for plowing. Plowing is the second on the list of the 39 melachos in the Mishnah. It's the first one on the list for the Rambam. Maimonides has it as the first one on the list, which is something that we discussed last time, why the Rambam changes it from the order of the Mishnah. And it's the second one on the list. And what we were discussing is how exactly do you define plowing? What is the definition of plowing? That which is prohibited on Shabbos, when we say plowing, what is forbidden? How do you define plowing? What is plowing? So we gave two alternatives as to what plowing is, the definition for plowing. Either plowing is about softening the soil. You have to soften the soil. It's not specifically the act of plowing, but any form of softening the soil would constitute plowing. Included within that is the fact that the Gemara, there are a few Gemaras which discuss Choresh. One of them is the Gemara which you'll find on page 2. It says it's the second source on page 2. So that Gemara says that included in plowing is also the biblical prohibition of just putting soil into a hole. You have a hole in the ground. You stick soil into that ground to fill up the hole, so that itself is a problem of chorish, of plowing. Why? Because when you fill up the hole, so you're filling up the hole with soft soil. So now you have the ground has soft soil, so that you can now put seeds into that soil. That was one explanation as to what plowing is. And so we're already extending the definition of plowing beyond just the act of plowing, but it's really the result of having soft soil, either through plowing or through any other means of just sticking soft soil into a hole, would also constitute plowing. So it's not plowing, but it's just creating soft soil. That was the first definition we had. The second definition we had was clear within the Talmud Yerushalmi, that it had a different definition, and I don't think I have it quoted here, but it's in the previous packet for Monday. The Yerushalmi says that anything which gives benefit to the land, that's the language of the Yerushalmi, anything which gives benefit to the land is a problem of chorish. It enhances the land somehow, which is a pretty vague definition of enhancing the land. What does it mean to enhance the land? So any form of enhancing the land, not just plowing, but any form, let's say, of just making it look aesthetically nicer, removing stones from the land, something like that, because plowing allows you to then plant, and then planting as an end result will cause your land to look nicer. You'll have vegetation on that field. And that was the opinion of the Yerushalmi.
That's a very large step, though. I mean, that plowing is enhancing the land because it enables you to plant, and that's going to look nicer. I assume that
or just planting, water, or
you now have a piece of land that's arable.
Yeah, that itself. Yeah, the fact
not
that
because it's an end result. Of
no. You don't have to. You don't. Yeah, for sure. You don't have to end up planting in order to violate chorish. It's just giving you that potential itself is what makes the land more valuable. It enhances the land. Just the fact that you have that potential to then grow, to put seeds into the ground. But it includes more than just plowing. It would include any form of enhancing the land, which is a pretty broad definition. And we might get into in this class what exactly, if we could more clearly define what it means to enhance the land. So those are the two basic understandings. We pointed out that there are some of the earlier commentators, some of the Rishonim, took the opinion of the Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Hananel, who's a commentator on the Gemara itself, on the page of the Gemara, he quotes this Yerushalmi, that it's a lot broader than just plowing. And we also explained that for the Rambam, who often follows the Yerushalmi, so when he gave his psak, he also gave the psak of the Yerushalmi, that it's not just about creating soft soil, but it's really about just enhancing the land, some form of enhancing of the land. So let's get into some other discussions which also will shed light on this issue. So let's go to page 1. If you go to page 1, we'll go back to the Gemara that we discussed last on Monday. The Gemara said, Hazoreh v'hachorish, that if you the Mishnah's list is first to sow, to plant, and then it's the plow. So the Gemara asks, Michti, Mikhrav karvi bereisha lisni choresh v'hadr lisni zoreh. What is the normal order of events? The normal order of events is first to plow and then to plant and then to sow. So why is it that in the list of the Mishnah do we have sowing and then plowing? It should really be the opposite. It should be plowing and then sowing. So we saw this on Monday. And so the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Tana b'Eretz Yisrael kai. Dizari b'resha v'hadar karvi. We're talking about in the land of Israel where they would plow after planting. Because the ground is very hard, the soil is very hard, so therefore they had to cover the seeds, and so they had to plow after they put the seeds into the ground, to cover the seeds. It required plowing. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara is basically asking that we should switch the order. It makes sense to switch the order. So the next source here is Tosos. See Tosos. Tosos asks the following question. He says, Mithra Karvi Barisha Bahadar, he's going on the Gemara. He says, Lo Shayach Lameda Kachi, Bahadar Katani HaMachaba Barisha Bahadar HaMavir. So he asks, I don't understand. In the list of the Mishnah, the list of the Mishnah also says, it first lists as one of the prohibitions extinguishing, and then the next prohibition it says igniting. Igniting a fire is a problem, it's a malacha, it's its own malacha, its own prohibition, its own category, and so is extinguishing. But over there, the Gemara never asks, why does it say extinguishing first and then igniting, even though in the order of things it makes sense to first have igniting and then extinguishing. You can only extinguish a fire which has already been in existence. You already ignited a flame. So the Gemara never asks such a thing. So before we get into the Tosa's answer, would anybody come up with a reason? So why is it that specifically over here, when it comes to planting and plowing, the Gemara asks, well, it should be plowing first and then planting. Why did the Mishnah say planting and then plowing? Asks the Gemara, it should really be plowing and then planting, because that's the order of events. So Tosas asks, don't read Tosas to see the answer, Tosas asks, well, why don't we have that in other cases also? Why doesn't the Gemara comment in other cases that it says extinguishing and then igniting? But really the order of events is the opposite. It should be igniting, and then you extinguish that fire. Or you already have a fire in existence to then extinguish. So why specifically over here does the Gemara have a problem with the order? Seemingly the Gemara doesn't have a problem with the order in a normal case. So why would they have a problem with the order over here? Any suggestions?
The problem is that it's, I mean, is it the problem that it's out of order from the way that we practice normally?
But it seems like we're not worried about that. It seems like in terms of just like normally how we practice things, we don't care about the order, because the fact that the order could also say first extinguishing and then igniting, we don't really care about the order. So why over here do we care about the order in terms of that it should first say plowing and then planting? Why is this case any different? Seemingly we don't care about the order, but over here we do specifically care about the order. Yeah.
I wanted to say that my biggest problem is not the use, not the order itself, but that the explanation for the order. I think it's a particularly weak explanation for why we've changed the order.
Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question, but let's focus on why we care about the order. On the original question, why is the question even a question to begin with? That's what Tosa is asking. We don't care about the order. The Mishnah is just listing off forbidden activities. Why do we actually care about the order?
According to the Gemara's initial understanding, I mean, before the Gemara answered that we're talking about Israel and we added this new idea that you can have plowing afterwards, the Gemara initially thought that plowing is only something that happens before planting, and you can only violate plowing if it takes place before the planting, if it's something that's making the planting, it's plowing is only if you're doing something that's enabling planting.
Ah, so that's a great answer. Sure, Lichtman has a great answer. And he wants to say, well, the reason why we care about this over here, to extinguish a flame, it's not like you need to, you have an order of igniting a flame and then extinguishing a flame, because you only violate igniting a flame because you plan on extinguishing it. It's not like there's something inherent in igniting and extinguishing. There's no connection between the two other than that to extinguish a flame, you already have to have an existing flame. But there's no inherent connection between the two. With regards to Choresh and Zoreh, with regards to plowing and planting, one could have thought One could have said that plowing, you only violate plowing if it comes before planting, because it's the violation is only because you're plowing in order to plant. The violation is to plow in order to plant. So the Gemara is asking, I thought the violation is to plow in order to plant. But if that's true, so then you should for sure have in the list first plowing and then planting. You should for sure have that on the list. Mm-hmm. It should first say plowing and then planting, because the whole violation of plowing is only if it's for the purpose of planting. Now, that answer is a good answer, but if you go back to what we said a few minutes ago, there are two different definitions for plowing.
Right?
There are two different definitions for plowing. Plowing is either to soften the ground in order to plant, and then that would be a great explanation of the Gemara. The other explanation of defining what plowing is has nothing to do with planting, but it's just about this broader idea of enhancing the ground, enhancing the field.
And we understand that to be enhancing, not necessarily for the purpose of making it more arable.
No, not necessarily for that. As of now, it's not necessarily for that. Okay. It seems to be that it's just to enhance the ground. Yes.
And so, doesn't that then mean that because it's in this order where the plowing is second and not first, it seems to imply that the definition of plowing in this case is something more in that area, that it's not inherently connected with the idea of just about plowing for because they put it, that's why it's so important to see that order, because it's almost suggesting a definition that's not.
You would be correct, except that the Gemara's answer is saying that we're dealing with a case where the plowing is after planting, but yet it's also enhancing the planting. Mm-hmm. Because the Gemara's answer is that in order to plant, you have to plow after you plant. It's a unique case where you are plowing for the planting, but it's taking place after you plant. So it's a very unique case where you're plowing afterwards. So you'd be right. If the Gemara didn't give that answer, you'd be right. If it said plowing after planting, it would imply that the plowing has nothing to do with the planting. But the fact that the Gemara gave the answer that, no, this type of plowing is specifically to enhance the planting, so then you don't necessarily have a proof from the Mishnah. So it's interesting, what Rabbi Lichtman said is an answer that's given not by Tosos. So Tosos had this question, it's given by others, but it's not given by Tosos. Tosos has this question. So Tosos asked, let's just go back to Tosos. Tosos asked, why do we care about the order here? In other cases, we don't care about the order. So why does the Gemara all of a sudden over here care about the order? So what is the answer? He gives the following answer. He says, because the Hacha, this is on page 1, the second source on page 1, the Hacha kol sidur depas nakat kiseder levad mecharisha. There is the whole first bunch of malachos. I forgot exactly the number. 11. Thank you. The first 11 malachos are called sidura de pas, which is one malacha after another which you need to do in order to create bread, to produce bread. The last one being ofen, right? The last one being baking. So you have to plow, you have to plant, right? You have to grow everything, and then all these different things. You have to cut, and then ultimately you're going to get to baking and then planting, and then you'll have your bread. So in the Mishnah, when it lists it in order of the process. So the question is, if it's listing it in order of the process, so then why over here does it change it around? Over here it's changing it around. It first mentions planting, and then it mentions plowing. So only over here do we have a question. Because when we're discussing what's called sidur depas, the order of making bread, so then you'd want it to be in the correct order. So over here the Gemara has the question, why did we change the order around? But when it comes to the other 28 malachos, so then we don't care about the order. There's no need to have a specific order. And that's why we don't address the question with regards to the other 28 malachos. And that's why when it comes to igniting a flame and extinguishing, we could switch the order and we don't care. Because it's only specifically over here when it comes to sidur tapas, when it comes to having that specific order to make the bread, do we care about the order? And so therefore the Gemara has the question, why does it switch the order? That's why the Gemara has that question.
Is it that there really is no order, or is it just that it didn't get recorded in the Mishnah and Gemara? Or do we know?
What do you mean by that?
Well, like, the Mishnah is not comprehensive, right? We didn't manage to record everything that was transmitted always.
Okay.
So maybe there's an understanding of the order that's beyond the first 11 that we just haven't been able to discern, or and we've never got properly
that, down over. Are you suggesting that for some, in terms of just the order of the first 11, it's not like there's necessarily a halachic significance to that order. It's not like you only violate planting if you then bake bread. There's no halachic significance to the order. The point is just that they listed the order. They decided to list the order in its correct process of in order to bake bread. But there's no halachic significance to that order. So for all of them, there's no halachic. It's not like there's a halachic significance regardless to any of them, to the order.
So where is the order listed in the?
It's in. It's on. We're reading right now 73b, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, on the previous page, in the Mishnah. It's listed in the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. It lists off the 39 categories of forbidden activity.
And their plowing becomes is before planting.
Mm-hmm. Plowing? No, their plowing is after planting.
Okay. Well, that's
and that's why the Gemara has their question. The Gemara has its question because in the list of the Mishnah, plowing is after planting. Uh-huh. And so the Gemara is asking, on the Mishnah, why did it list plowing after planting? That's
my question. In the Yerushalmi, maybe it does list.
No, they have the same Mishnah. The Yerushalmi and the Bible have the same Mishnah.
That's you think all the more so because this order is unique to Israel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
This order is unique to Israel. It's correct. This order is unique to Israel. So Tosa's explanation is really, there's nothing fundamental to his explanation. He's just saying that the reason why there's a question here is just because the Mishnah for the first 11 is giving a specific order. So the Gemara is asking, we should switch the order. But the reason why the Mishnah has that specific order has no halachic significance. It's not like there's a halachic significance to the order, they're just listing it in order. So once they're listing it in order to bake, for the purpose of baking bread, so then why do they switch it for the first two? But the question is, why doesn't Tosos give Rabbi Lichtman's answer? Tosos should have had a better answer. Tosos should have said that, you know what, the reason why we care about the order is because I would have said that you need to have that specific order of plowing before planting, because you need a plow in. It has to be plowing, which is in order to plant. That's why we care about the order. That's what, if I were Tosos, I would have given that answer. Right? In fact, that's not just Rabbi Lichtman's suggestion, but that's also the Pnei Yeshua, who's a very big commentator on Tosos from the 18th century. If you turn the page, he says this explicitly on page 2. He says, V'la'anias da'iti nira, she'ain tzorech l'zeh. I don't understand. Tosos doesn't have to give the answer that he gave, that it's about the fact that the whole Mishnah is based on the order of the bread. The Gemara only has this question because of plowing. Why is plowing unique? It should have said, the order in the Mishnah should have been plowing and then planting. Why? One has only violated, Pnei Yeshua holds, that one has only violated plowing if it's in order to plant. And that's definitely his definition. Of plowing is that it's in order to plant. Not only is it in order to plant, but it also has to be in a place which is fit for planting. If you were to plow in a place where it's not fit for planting, you would not violate plowing. It has to be
if you're on the beach.
On the beach or something like that, yeah. So then you would not violate planting. Avo kishachorish b'makom she'in roi lizriya, kigon bitsunma. If you plant in a place where it's not fit if you plow in a place which is not fit for planting, or you plow without intention to plant, so then you just plow in order to level the fields. You have not violated planting. He says that, which is a separate point. He says you have violated something else, which is also interesting. Building. Apparently you could violate building just on a field, which is itself a very fascinating concept, that you could just, by leveling a field, you have violated building, even though there's no structure there, which is its own point. We're going to ignore that for now. We'll get back to it when we get to Bona. But his point, Pnei Yeshua says, the reason why we care about the order, why does the Gemara care about the order? Because you only violate plowing if it's in order to plant. So in this one case, you have to have it in the correct order. You must have it in the correct order. It has to first be plowing and then planting, because otherwise you would not violate plowing. So you need that specific order, which is exactly what Rabbi Lechman pointed out. And so the big question then is, well, why didn't Tosfos give that answer? Tosfos does not give that answer. So why doesn't Tosfos give what I would think is the simpler answer, which is to say that plowing is in order to plant?
Tosfos doesn't hold that plowing has to be in order to plant.
Exactly. So I was thinking what Ben was thinking, that perhaps according to Tosfos, why does Tosfos give a different answer? Tosfos is giving a different answer. I'm sorry?
Like the Rambam.
Because he might hold like the Rambam. He might hold like the Yerushalmi, which says that plowing is not in order to plant. And so then I'm left with a question. So why do we carry out the order? So he has to come up with a different answer. He comes up with a different answer, which is that plowing is, we need to care about the order of making of the bread. And so therefore it was in the correct process, it was in the correct order for that process. And so therefore, it should say really plowing and then planting. But he does not give the simpler answer, just to say that plowing is in order to plant. So you need that to be first. Why? Because plowing for him is not about the definition for plowing is not in order to plant. It's not to create a ground which is now suitable for planting. Rather, the definition for plowing is that it's just about enhancing the ground, enhancing the field. And that has nothing to do with planting. You could enhance the field by allowing it, softening the soil to therefore allow for planting, but there are many other ways to enhance the field. By removing stones, you also enhance the field. So it has, there's no direct connection between plowing and planting. You have a question?
Just a side point on Tosfos. Just in Tosfos' answer, where he says that it's only by Sidur de Pas, by baking bread, Malachos, that they're in order. And that's why I think we're asking the question there. Are there, Tosfos in his question, he's only asking from Maver and Mechava.
Yeah.
Are there other malachos that are also out of order? Because otherwise, you could still ask the same question on Maver and Mechava, if those are the only two that are out of order.
Well, you could either ask in either direction. You could say which one's the exception, which one's...
He's asking...
His point is that by Maver and Mechava, the Gemara is not bothered by that.
Well, why is the Gemara not bothered by that? If that's the only one that's out of order, so the Gemara should be bothered. Answer is, well, that's the only one that's out of order in this series. Well, that's the only one that's out of order in that series. Then the Gemara should be bothered by it the same way.
The point is that we don't care about the order.
There is no series.
Is there no series by Maver and Mechava? It's not part of a series.
No, it's not.
What's
no.
Maver
extinguishing and igniting.
No, but you said there is. You've got to ignite before you can extinguish.
In the process of you first have to have a flame in order. You do not have to ignite a flame on Shabbos to then extinguish a flame. You can have a flame which already exists prior to Shabbos to then ignite it to extinguish it on Shabbos. It's not like you have to extinguish the same flame that you ignite on Shabbos.
So it's just answering that since that's not part of a series, we don't.
Yeah, that's what he's answering. So what we came out with, based on this whole discussion as to why is the Gemara bothered specifically here about the order as opposed to anywhere else, so the answer reflects their understanding of the definition of plowing. Right? The Pnei Yeshua and Rabbi Lithman understand plowing to be plowing for the purpose of planting, and so therefore that's why the Gemara is bothered. It should first say plowing, and then it should say planting. And so that's the opinion of the Pnei Yeshua. But Tosfos gives a different answer. So if Tosfos is giving a different answer, so you have to ask, well, why didn't Tosfos give the first answer? Or the way we suggested was the first answer. And so the answer to that is because Tosfos has a totally different conception of what the definition is of plowing. Plowing is about just enhancing the land. So that could occur after planting. That doesn't have to occur. That has nothing to do with planting. Fine. So that all comes out of that whole discussion. So we're going to discuss. I wanted to discuss now. Let's focus in on this opinion that says that plowing is to enhance the land, right? This the original source for that was the Yerushalmi, and now we've seen that the Rambam holds like this, Tosfos potentially holds like this, seemingly holds like this. We saw other opinions hold of this Yerushalmi, that it's to enhance the land. So is it purely to enhance the land? Is it just to enhance the land in any way? Or are there certain limitations in terms of just defining what does it mean to enhance the land? You can enhance the land is a pretty vague and broad term to just enhance the land, enhance the field. So is there any way that we could really just try to clearly define what does it mean to enhance the land? That's what we're going to do right now. So if you look at the second page, I want to quote a dispute amongst the earlier commentators, amongst the Rishonim, with regards to this point. If you look at the Chidushi Haran is the last source on page 2. So just to review the Gemara. The Gemara is right above it. You can see it in the English. The Gemara discussed two cases. The cases are, one case is where you have a mound on a field. And what you're doing is that you're leveling off that mound on the field to make it a flat field. And so for that you have violated plowing, even though you're not actually physically plowing, but just by, you have mounds all over the field, and by flattening the field, so you have violated plowing. And then the second case is where you have holes in the field, and by filling up those holes, you have also violated plowing. So the big question is, well, you weren't plowing, so why did you violate plowing? Right, so that's what we discussed before. So the Ran, who is one of the Rishonim, so he explains, why have you violated here plowing? So the Ran is on the bottom of page 2. He says, Shahar be pa'amim, adam choresh, she'ein daito ela lahatech ba'afar, latikon hasada, velo lezriya. He says, many times a person plows without having in mind to plant. They're plowing in order to just flip the soil. I never heard of this, but I guess this could be the case that
keeps the soil healthy. It's hard to think of why you would keep the soil healthy
if you don't want to plant it,
wanting to facilitate plant growth.
But to aerate the soil.
Yeah.
But if it's not for the purpose of planting, why would you do this?
I think that's not correct. I think you do it for the purpose of plowing, just maybe not going to plow
immediately. Oh, so yeah. It's eventually. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fine. So it's eventually. You're not planning on planting through this plowing. It's
maybe
just to,
season.
Or even for the yeah, I'm saying even yeah. for the season, but it's for eventually you're gonna plant there. But the point is that for this plowing, you have no intention to plant through this plowing.
Right.
So he says, you have no intention to plant. It's just to flip the soil over in order to letikun hasada, for the betterment of the field, to enhance the field. The hilkach, therefore, says the Ran, kol tikun hasada choshev mishem choresh, any form of enhancing the field, of improvement of that field, is a violation of choresh, of plowing. And therefore, to explain the Gemara, says the Ran, in the case of where you have mounds all over the field and then you level it off, so then you have violated plowing because you have enhanced the field. And also if you have holes in the ground and you fill in those holes, so then also in those cases you have enhanced the field because now you've covered those holes. So in all those cases you have violated plowing. So that seems very much like the Yerushalmi. Yeah?
I don't understand his thought process. How does he know that you're chayev in the case where you're plowing not for planting, just to flip over the soil? How do we know that?
I don't want to get into that. His language implies that the reason why we know that you have violated choresh, if it's just purely to flip over the soil and not to plant, he says, shahar be pa'amim adam choresh. He says, it's common for people to just plow without having intention to plant. So that implies that the Ran, this opinion, gets his definition of plowing, and when you violate plowing, based on what is common. I mean, we know that plowing is a violation. It's one of the 39 melachos. It's a violation on Shabbos. So the question is, well, how do you define plowing? So for the Ran, the way he defines plowing is based on what is viewed as common in terms of plowing. What's common for plowing? It's common to plow in order to plant. True. But it's also common to plow not in order to plant. So either one would suffice to violate plowing. You don't have to plow in order to plant, because many people would plow without having intention to plant. So therefore, as long as it's something which is common...
But people are doing the action of turning over the soil without the intention of immediately planting, and he's calling that action plowing because people often do it, even though the intention's different. So it's a little circular, is it not?
Why is it circular? The question is, how do you define plowing?
Right.
So we're going to define plowing based on how people commonly plow.
No, it would have to be by how people commonly call, what they commonly call plowing.
What people commonly call plowing, correct.
What
people commonly call plowing.
But they have a different intention. We've got other stuff.
Yeah, but it's based on how, you're right, it's based on how you commonly call plowing, which is also interesting, that it's based on just how people call plowing.
Right.
Or maybe this is what Rabbi Lichtman was saying, that it might not be based on how people commonly call plowing, or just the act of plowing itself. I mean, there's an act of plowing. There is that act of plowing.
So you can define something by people's actions, or you can define something by people's actions for a purpose. We dealt with that when we were dealing with planting to something. Right? So is it a question of only defining this? It looks like Taman wants to disregard people's intention for the purpose of defining this, and if it's the same action, no matter what the intention, then we're going to just call it all plowing, and we're going to define it by the action as opposed to the intention.
Well, he's just saying that we're going to define it by the action and not based on the intention, because people perform that action
and call it with.
No, you have an. There is an action which is called plowing, right?
Yeah.
It's the same action. It's the same one action of plowing.
Yep.
So some people perform this action. If you're going to call this action plowing because people intend to plant, so then that's also an action of plowing if people also don't intend to plant, regardless of whether people call it that or not. Mm. It's still the action of plowing. It's the same action that you've called plowing when people intend to plant.
But it's a question of what you're going to be liable for.
So it's either whether people commonly call plowing or whether that action itself, which is plowing, is that in the context of planting or not in the context of planting. So people perform that action of plowing even not in the context of planting. So therefore the definition of plowing has nothing to do with planting. Mm-hmm. Since it's commonly done that way. It is common.
I need to think about it.
Okay, so we'll talk about it afterwards. But the Ran does say that if you just plow, it's normal to plow without having intentions to plant. And so therefore, you violate plowing independent of whether you have any intentions to plant. And therefore, what is his definition for plowing? His definition for plowing is just to, his language is kol tikun asada, any form of improvement of the field. Plowing is defined as any form of improvement of that field. So it seems pretty clear for the Ran that it has nothing to do with planting. It's just any improvement to the field independent of planting. Now, if you turn the page, and that would fit with the Yerushalmi, right? That would all fit with the definition of Yerushalmi, of the Rambam, probably Tosos. There's an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah is also one of the earlier commentators, one of the Rishonim. He doesn't comment on the Gemara. He's not a commentator who directly comments on the Gemara. It's more like a halacha sefer. So in his commentary, he says the following. He says, "Mikol makom ze lamadnu mirushalmi." He quotes the Rishalmi, and then he says, "What we learn from the Rishalmi is the following." This is on the top of page 3. "Shekol davar shuhu lahanas karka." Anything which is for the purpose of the benefit of the ground. Ubekach yoser tov lizara chai mishum choresh, and through that enhancement of the ground, it makes it better yoser tov lizara. So then you have violated choresh. So he quotes the Rishalmi.
That's much more sensible to the other guy's opinion.
Who's the other guy?
To the Ran.
Yeah. You know, I think to me the Ran is losing some of the fact that. When he says that everybody that's common to plow, but common to plow only because you eventually intend to
plant.
If you had no intention ever of planting that field, why would you ever bother plowing?
And it's not even that person's intention. He may want to make it look beautifully arable and then sell the land. But it's.
But eventually, yeah, it's not for his. It's not for his planting.
Yeah, no, but the point is, that, along the, or Zarua's line of articulating this, that it's making the land more arable.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what the words of Rua is saying. It's clear that the Ran does not hold this way, because he says that based on his definition, therefore you have violated plowing even just by filling up holes. That's his extension.
Yeah.
And he says clearly, V'lo l'zriya. But for the words of Rua, when he's explaining the Yerushalmi, which seems to give a broader definition, he says, for any enhancement of the land, at the same time he's limiting that definition.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying any enhancement of the land, which is what the Yerushalmi says, but it's limited to a case where it's ubekach yoser tov lizara, so that eventually, it might not be for right now, it doesn't necessarily have to be for right now, but it has to be that eventually, it's for the purpose that eventually it will be able to enhance the growth, some sort of vegetation, growing something in that area. And so that is very much limiting the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi would only apply to cases where at some point, it doesn't have to be for right now, so it's not plowing for planting for right now, but you have to plow. Plowing is to enhance the ground so that at some point it will be fit for planting. According to this, so then even according to the Rishami, has one violated plowing in a place where it is not fit to plant? You just can't plant there. Let's say on a beach. Have you violated plowing in a place where it's just not fit to plant?
Improving the land independently of plant potential.
So you would violate it?
I think so. Correct. You're sure.
Well, it would be a dispute. It would be a dispute. Because this Orzarua is explaining the Yerushalmi. He's going within the Yerushalmi.
Right.
So this dispute between the first opinion, the Ran, and the second opinion, the Orzarua, is a dispute about whether it's just any enhancement of the land, or whether it's specifically enhancement of the land not for right now for the purpose of planting, but for some ultimate usage of the land for planting. That's some ultimate usage I could use for planting. According to the Ran, you would violate it. If it was a place where you can't plant, if you plow in a place where it's just impossible to plant, so then you would still violate plowing, because it's just any form of enhancement of the land, you violate plowing. But according to the second opinion, according to the Orzarua, you only violate plowing if at some point in time it will enhance the potential for growth in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the opinion of the Orzarua. There's a discussion, we're going to end in a few minutes. There's a discussion about if it has to be in a place where it's for the purpose, either according to the first opinion, where plowing, the definition for plowing is for the purpose of growing, of planting right now, or according to this Orzarua, where it's plowing for the purpose of ultimately planting. So there's a discussion amongst the modern day poskim whether it's specifically, you only violate plowing specifically in a case which is, it's an area which is designated for planting, like you have a field which is designated for planting, or which is called Omedis Lizria, it's designated for planting, or whether it's just Roi Lizria. It's not designated for planting, but there's potential to grow something there. It's not designated for planting, but there is some sort of potential to grow something there. What would an example be of something which has the potential to grow, but it's not designated?
Backyard.
The backyard grows grass.
So I think the example they give is like the walkway to your house, because there is potential to grow there. You remove the cement, or whatever it is that's just on your walkway, so then you do have, there is potential to grow something there. It's not...
You can't really plow that area on Shabbos.
Yeah, it's hard to plow that area on Shabbos. But if you have something similar, it's not cement, you have something, some other material.
A stone pathway.
Right? Yeah, something like that, some other material. But right now, nothing's growing there. So it's fit to grow something. If you remove everything, so then it's fit to grow something. But it's not omedis lazria. It's not designated for growth. So that itself is a dispute amongst the modern-day poskim, whether it has to be something which is specifically designated for growing something, or whether it's it just could be fit for growing something. So that itself is a dispute.
Under that definition, wouldn't we be able to say then that any city street has a potential for growth because underneath it is earth?
Potentially. I just don't know how you perform, I don't know how you plow in the city street.
But if that's the debate now, then we must hold the Or Zeruah.
Either like the Or Zeruah or the other opinion, which says that it's purely plowing for the sake of planting.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or it's the Or Zeruah, correct. But then it seems like... But it seems more like the Or Zeruah. I think it seems more like the Or Zeruah that it's...
certainly eliminated the Ram.
Yeah, since that's the modern-day question. Exactly. We have eliminated the Ram. There is also an interesting discussion about... I think it's with regards to hydroponics. With regards to hydroponics, there's a discussion of... Let's say I were to put in certain chemicals... which just create an environment where it's just more conducive to create those hydroponics. Like if I, it's not nutrients, but certain chemicals that you put in. I'm not familiar with the whole process, but it's just putting chemicals which then would then create an environment which is more conducive for the hydroponics to grow. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do know what you're talking about, and that sounds like planting as opposed to sowing.
As opposed to sowing?
Sowing as opposed to...
you're adding chemicals to the water before you put the seeds in.
Yes, before you put the seeds in.
Oh.
Before you put the seeds in.
Yeah, that's...
Is that part of the process? I guess you add these chemicals before you put the seeds in. So there are those that suggest that just by putting these chemicals in, so then you have violated plowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are enhancing, you are allowing that area...
Yeah.
To grow. You're allowing that
you're enhancing to grow earth.
See, that sounds like if you're in a world of Rashi, which is very limited to... I'm going to say Rashi, but if you're in a world where...
No, you're right.
Where you're very limited to... That it has to do...
With softening the soil.
You're softening the soil. So then I could hear that you'd be chayav for that. But if...
That you would be chayav for that?
Yeah, if Chorish is just a general enhancing a field... It's hard to make that extension to enhancing... It has nothing to do with planting. So I wouldn't be chayav for enhancing my coffee mug.
So it is an interesting point. It is an interesting point. When they say this, so they say that this would be under the opinion that says that plowing is for the purpose of planting, which would fit with Rashi. At the same time, you can say Rashi is very much, he's limiting it so far to say that it's specifically just soil, where you're softening soil. One could also make that suggestion, that it's specifically with regards to soil. Softening the soil is the violation, and that's it. It's plowing. The definition for plowing is to soften soil. But they're extending this and saying, within Rashi, where it's for the purpose of planting, but it's more than just softening the soil. It's for any purpose of planting. Not to enhance the field, because we're not dealing with a field here when it comes to hydroponics. We're dealing with just inside a room. But the definition would have to be, Within this first opinion, that it's just for the purpose of planting, not just softening soil, but any activity that you do, which would then enhance the growth, would be a violation. And therefore, to just add in the chemicals into the water before there are any seeds there. There are no seeds there, so then that would be potentially a violation of plowing. And it has nothing to do with plowing. Before the shear, if I would ask whether putting in chemicals into water is a violation of plowing, you would think it's ridiculous. But if the definition is in order to plant, it's creating an environment which is more conducive for planting, so then this would fit that definition. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're finished with going into the definition of plowing, and next week I think we're going to discuss a lot of, there's a lot of halachah, a lot of practical applications with regards to plowing, and we'll deal with that next week.